Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all today. I will apologize right from the start. My voice is giving me troubles. Spring is usually when that hits me, and today is the first day of spring, so that, I guess, is what's going on with my voice. We've been doing a series of lessons pertaining to prayer. This will be my last lesson. It will be this week and next week, and then that'll be the end of our series on prayer. I've been very encouraged with several of the comments that have been made about this series of lessons. Several of you have said it's challenged you to greater depths of in your prayer life. And it's been evident because of some of the questions that we'll deal with this morning. Several of you have asked me questions like, what do you mean? We don't pray to Jesus? And so I want to answer that question this morning. That's one of the questions we'll deal with. One of the other questions is one that we dealt with some time ago, and I thought it was perfect to come back and touch on that again, and that is, do we have to say in Jesus' name at the conclusion of our prayers? We're going to deal with that as well. Amongst some other thoughts, and again, I just want to say thank you very much for listening so intently. You've made some suggestions, and you've had some comments, and many of the lessons have carried on in text messages and emails and phone conversations back and forth, and you encourage me much in my work as evangelist, and I just want to say thank you again for listening so intently to these lessons. Prayer is a privilege. And we need to understand that. I think as Christians, we lose that sometimes. We think just because we're Christians, prayer is always there, and it is there for the Christian to use. But it can be abused and not used at all. Through the death of Jesus, as was mentioned around the Lord's Supper, this establishment of prayer had been given, been established. And there should never be a time in our lives where we bow our heads or look up with reverence to God and address Him in prayer with a nonchalant type of attitude. Prayer is a blessing, and it's a way that we can communicate with our God in heaven, who's blessed us very much on this side of eternity. So as I wind this series down, dealing with some questions that some of you have had, I hope that it's enriched you. This morning I'm going to be quoting from several places, in particular Gene Taylor, one of the ones that has outlines on this idea of prayer, one that I've stuck to pretty closely. There's a fellow named Tope, Mr. Tope as well, I've used some of his thoughts and some of your thoughts as well. Has been presenting, and then as we've been talking in the adult class, I've nibbled on some of them as well, mixed with some of my own thoughts, and it's been a rich study for me. The first question that I want to deal with pertaining to prayer is what we find on the board beside us. This idea of using Jesus' name. Again, I want to advocate this morning before we get into this point that if we're going to attach Jesus' name to something, we better be sincere. If we're going to use God's name, address God through Jesus Christ, let's do so with reverence and awe. He paid the ultimate price for each and every one of us. He gave His life a ransom for us, something that we would not have been able to pay, even if it was our own blood that we were offering. He was perfect and sinless, and He gave His life for us. And so if we are going to invoke the name of Jesus, let's be sincere with what we're doing. It's evident when we look at Scriptures very quickly. Colossians chapter 3, you can be turning over there, and I'll read that in just a second from now. But in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17, it says this, and whatever you do in word or deed, do what? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father
through him.
Now that verse alone really stands on its own, teaching us that not only should prayers be offered to God, but those prayers are offered through Jesus Christ to God. It really sets the foundation of this very first point right from the start. John 16, you can just listen. John 16 and verse 23, it says this, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whoever asks of the Father in my name, he will give you." Ephesians 2 and in verse 18, For through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Again, through Jesus. There's many other verses we can turn to, but these four verses really sum up and lay the foundation that our prayers must go, and the only way that God hears our prayers is that they go through Jesus Christ. And for good reason. In 1 Timothy, turn over there. This is a text that we're going to turn to and spend just a couple of moments in. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin in verse 1. But this verse teaches us that he is our mediator, right? And so if we're going to claim that he is our mediator, we also have to affirm the first part of this. That he's speaking on our behalf. He's taking our petitions to the Father. It's through him that God the Father hears our prayers. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I feel like I'm going through puberty again. My voice is going up and down. It says in verse 1, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." What I was talking about just a moment ago. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And here it is in verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man." Who is that? The man, Jesus Christ. And so when we look at these points and look at these verses, they're not just aimless verses to read. They're not filler verses. These are verses that teach us much about the work of God's Son. Our prayers go through Jesus to the Father. And they do so because he is our mediator. Scripture would also teach us that he's our advocate in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Kind of interesting. That word became vividly clear to me when we were getting ready to adopt our little girls. Each one of them had an advocate, a court-appointed advocate. That advocate's job was to come and examine our family and see how our children were interacting with us. And they spoke on the court date about the children, what was in the best interests of them. That's what Jesus does for us. He's not only our mediator, but he pleads our case before the Father. I think sometimes we think as there are some religions that do, that once Jesus died on the cross, his work was done. That's so far from the truth. He lives. He's our advocate. He is our mediator. As was mentioned this morning around the table in Hebrews chapter 4, he is our high priest. We think about the work of Jesus, it's not over. Right? And because of this, because of Jesus being our mediator, because he is our advocate, because he is our high priest, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. You see, so when we pray, understand that that prayer is powerful. When we close our eyes and we call on the name of Jesus Christ, let's understand the process that we're going through. We are petitioning to God through Jesus Christ, our concerns, our joys, our sadness, the things that we're praying about, and He hears our prayers. It's not just we're throwing it out there. Jesus is receiving them and taking them to the Father, and He's becoming our advocate for our concerns and our desires. He's speaking on our behalf. I'll tell you, if we don't grasp that, then we're missing a whole lot pertaining to prayer. But really the question is, must somebody say at the conclusion of a prayer, in Jesus' name? I will say right from the very start that this is a tradition. It's something we bind as law, but it's not. This is a tradition. But what must be evident in that prayer is what we talked about already. That our prayers are going through Jesus. Let me just pose it like this for just a moment. We had a couple of public prayers already. If we don't include in that prayer in some nature or some fashion that that prayer is going through Jesus Christ to the Father, if that is absent in our prayer, what will our visitors think? We mentioned we had several visitors this morning. Might we leave the impression with them that we directly go to the Father in our prayers, that Jesus has no part in it? We very well could. So somewhere in that prayer, there must be a recognition and an address that this prayer is going through Jesus Christ. I think it's a good tradition that we say in Jesus' name at the conclusion of our prayers. I think it's a tradition that clearly addresses the need as far as that prayer is concerned in public prayer. But I cannot say it's binding, that it's a must. If somebody doesn't say in Jesus' name at the conclusion of a prayer that that prayer is not heard, I think that's far from the truth. But it is a good tradition. Secondly, dealing with this line, can we pray to Jesus? I want to look at a couple of verses to teach us about that point. I think it's important that we don't go by opinions, but by what Scripture reveals to us. Just a moment ago, the Scripture was read to us in Revelation chapter 8, and it's a visual picture that we grasp from John's vision. And in this vision, there's this scene that's presented to us of prayer and how it comes before the throne of God. Again, when we utter a prayer, let's understand it's not an aimless prayer. It's not just floating around in the sky someplace. It's going to the throne of God. And I'll tell you, to get a visual picture of that, read Revelation chapter 8 again and grasp that. Your prayers are being heard. And we've dealt with that just recently, haven't we, in our prayer lesson. Sometimes God says no. When we offer a prayer, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's not the right time for that prayer. But God always answers our prayers. And that's because Jesus doesn't fail in His responsibility to be the advocate for us. Prayers go to the throne of God. And He hears them. I'll tell you, if we really grasp that, it will not only enrich our prayer life, but we'll long to pray more because we know God is hearing. I think what's interesting when we study the concept of prayer, and I've alluded to it already, is that when we pray, all persons in the Godhead play a role. Every one of them. Whether we're speaking about the Holy Spirit or Jesus or God the Father, each aspect, each person of the Godhood plays a role. And so in that sense, we can say that we cannot pray without Jesus. That's an absolute. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, that text I read just a second ago, it's undeniable that Jesus intercedes. He plays a role in God hearing our prayers. This is a text we've not read yet, and I want to. Over in Romans chapter 8, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We often get afraid of that, don't we? We don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. He frightens us. I'm not sure why, but he does. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, where the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It's an undeniable fact. It's clearly stated in Scriptures that all three parts of the Godhood play a part. God answers our prayers, but the only way that God hears our prayers is through Jesus. And as I just read a second ago, the Holy Spirit also has a part to play. What's interesting to me is, and it's mind-boggling for me to think of, is not only does Jesus know the prayers that I offer, but each and every prayer of everyone He knows. Now, you think about that. I don't even know what goes on in my own house all the time. But Jesus hears and becomes our advocate, yours and mine, all of ours. Every petition that we offer to the Father, He has a part in. And so we get to the real part of this question. When we study prayer in the New Testament, it's a fact, as we're speaking this, in Matthew chapter 6, turn over there for just a second. It's a fact that all prayers must be directed to the Father, not Jesus. Now remember, I'm not trying to downplay the role of Jesus. It's of vital importance. Without Jesus, our prayers will never be heard by God the Father. It's impossible for that to happen. But make no mistake, when we study in Scripture and we look in Scripture, it becomes very clear and very plain who those prayers are to be offered to. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 9, as his disciples ask Him, "How ought we to pray?" And Jesus goes in and He says in verse 9, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Jesus, in teaching His disciples, starts right from the very start. Your prayers, your petitions, are to be directed towards who? The Father. The Father. You know, it's interesting. It's not only there, but it's also found in the book of Luke and in chapter 11. Let's turn over there for just a second this morning as well. Luke chapter 11, and in verse 2, it says this. Actually, let's begin in verse 1. "Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him," here it is again, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. So He said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven." John 16, verse 23 says the same thing. Jesus Himself says, take your prayers go to the Father, not to me. Now, whether it's been mistakenly done, I've listened to prayers said before, and it's almost as if the person is praying to Jesus. We need to be careful of that. If we're going to have acceptable prayer, we need to understand who this prayer is to be directed to. It's our Father in heaven. Jesus has His part, but we're not praying to Jesus. You think about the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. It's interesting the words that he uses there. This is what Gene Taylor, he's combined these thoughts, and I think they're powerful, these three verses here. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, "We give thanks to God the Father." What does that scripture say? "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Scripture is very clear on this. We might become confused. We might try to change this avenue of prayer. We might try to erect Jesus to the one that we're praying to. But we would be wrong. Scripture clearly teaches us that the prayers go to the Father through Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting in the book of James. Let's turn over there. I do want to read and spend a second there as well. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, this is what's recorded for us. James chapter 1 and in verse 17, it says this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Where does the prayers come from? From above. And that's where it might become confusing to us. Wasn't Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father? Yes. But this verse continues to teach us that it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Our prayers, our requests, must be made to the very one that can grant them, that being our Father in heaven. And for good reason. When we think about our Father knows. A father knows the needs of a children. Physically speaking, I know what the needs of my children are. You know, it's interesting. People will come into your house and they'll try to tell you, well, you should do this with your children or that with your children. And I'll tell you, as a parent, sometimes that might bother you, right? Because the suggestions that they're making are suggestions you've tried and you know they don't work with your children. But you see, it's not that way with God the Father. He knows you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows the sufferings and the challenges you go through. He knows the joys that you experience, the hopes that you long for. He knows you. And who else should we offer our prayers to than to the Father? I want to turn to one other scripture on this point. It's a scripture I've thought about the last, probably 2 months. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. My own personal study is the book I've been in for some time, the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 19, it says this. Philippians 4, 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in His glory by Jesus Christ. You know, Philippians chapter 4 is a unique chapter. It's a chapter that pleads with us to understand the very nature of God and the giving nature of God and the all-sufficiency of God, that not only is He there and He's in tune with our life, but He longs to supply the needs that we need in our life. He's there and He's ready. And so I plead again for us to understand that when we pray, we are not praying to Jesus, but we are praying to our Father in heaven through Jesus. And so I want to come back next Sunday, because this next section of lesson, I'll tell you what we're going to deal with. And that is, does the Father, through Jesus, hear the prayers of sinners? This was a part of the lesson I wasn't really thinking about until Brother Dave Kaus asked me at the conclusion of our last lesson on prayer, that very principle. Does He hear the prayers of sinners? Well, I'll quickly state right from the very start that as far as sinners, if we sin, we are what? Sinners. Does God hear our prayers as His saints? Yes. If He didn't, how could we be forgiven? But that's not the question that Brother Dave was after. He was asking, Somebody that's not a Christian, does God the Father hear those prayers? Even if offered through Jesus' name. That's what we're going to tackle next week. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, humbly ask you to come back and be with us. It's something that you need to know. You know what we're going to talk about next week, and I hope that you'll come back. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you understand what you need to do to become a Christian, we ask you to move. There are a lot of ideas out there about how to make your life right with God. Say the sinner's prayer. Go to God, bow your heads, and pray to God through Jesus Christ, and He'll forgive you of all your sins. Well, that's true if one has obeyed the gospel. But we need to understand the pivotal role that not only belief and confession, but baptism has in God's plan. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 would teach us a valuable principle about baptism. It washes away our sins. For the one that is not put on Christ yet, baptism is essential. It's needed. And if you'd like to study more about that, I would be happy to sit down and study with you about the concept of baptism. But maybe you're there. Maybe you're ready. Maybe you understand who Jesus Christ is, that He is the Son of the living God. And maybe you're there this morning and you want to make that confession. You're ready to make that confession in front of this group that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And just maybe you are ready and you understand the purpose of baptism. It's to have your sins washed away. If that's you this morning, then I hope and pray that you'll come to the front. That you'll raise your hand. That you'll make your faith in God known this morning. And we'll baptize you this morning, not next week or at the end of this quarter, but this morning. Because that's what the church did in its infant stage. When the gospel was preached and hearts were receptive and were willing to put on Christ, they did it then. And I hope and pray that'll be you this morning. If you're here and you're Christian, you've not been living right, no more acceptable time to take those shortcomings to Him than now. Than now. That's the merciful God that we serve. He's ready to forgive us now. So if there's something you need to correct, won't you do so right now while we stand and while we sing.